Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman, a weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.
Arrogance along the spiritual path can be experienced by anyone, absolutely anyone. It could be an enlightened person, it could be a spiritual teacher, it could be anyone. And arrogance happens when you've had a number of spiritual experiences and maybe you start to think that you know something. You know something. That's an obstacle because there's so many things we don't know. And this practice of discovering who am I, of discovering our humanity, is a practice of always rediscovering our innocence. You could say our inner child, but that inner child is also the inner sage. And that innocence is like the innocence of a child, where each moment is fresh and there's many new stories to engage with and new pathways. And arrogance can also concretize your mind and close you off. So what we're looking for is the opposite, which is humility. What is humility? Humility is not being obsequious. Obsequious is being like servile, like putting yourself on the ground in a servile way. Humility, we say in Xhosa, tobekile onyani sikileyo, which means humility is everything. So what does it mean to be humble? It means in our practice, we go down on our knees and we pray and we let ourselves go. How much can you let yourself go when you're praying? Open your heart and just completely let yourself go. Let yourself go. Let yourself go. So that each moment is fresh and new. That's a practice in itself. And one of the ways that I do that myself, just in a simple way, is I do bowing practice, which is from my Buddhist background. I love bowing practice because you go down on your knees and being close to the ground and just giving yourself away as you're bowing. It's just such a beautiful practice. And you can bow for anything. You can bow for humanity. You can bow for your teachers. You can bow for people who are sick, people who are suffering, for the old people, people in your family. Just saying some bows. And as you're bowing and you're going down on the ground, you're making contact with the ground, you're bringing your forehead onto the ground, letting yourself go and saying a prayer to the Great Spirit, allowing your spirit to help humanity. That's a very, very powerful practice. And another very powerful practice, which is the opposite to arrogance, and it's a very good medicine for arrogance, and that's what I like to call karma yoga. Karma yoga is the practice of volunteering and helping without any payment. Just helping. Just helping. Just serving and helping in any capacity. Any capacity. Just giving yourself away. Just making yourself useful. I found that one of the quickest and most powerful spiritual practices. So when you practice karma yoga, where you volunteer your services to people who are more needy than yourself, you suddenly start feeling a sense of being grateful for what you have. So I remember how it all started for me. I was in the South African Army, and I remember helping soldiers who had lost their limbs from landmines. And one of my soldier friends, one of my patients, he was a young man from Mozambique, and he had lost both his legs from a landmine explosion. And I remember helping him, pushing him in a wheelchair. And all I did was take him around the hospital and take him outside into the sun. He was 22 years old. He was older than me. I was only 18. He never complained. From his waist up, incredible athlete. He could possibly have been one of the top athletes in the world. Both his legs were gone from a landmine explosion. He never complained once. Not once. And I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. And then I realized why. He was lucky to be alive. He was just grateful that he was alive. So I remember pushing him in the wheelchair out onto the helipad where the soldiers were brought in from operations in Angola. And it was a clear day in Pretoria and the sun would be beating down and you'd just turn up at the sun and he'd have this beatific smile on his face. And I'd feel like crying because, yeah, he didn't have limbs. He was in a wheelchair and he'd come from the war in Angola. And I felt, what have I got to worry about? I have a beautiful family, beautiful home. I have two legs. I have my whole future ahead of me and I haven't gone through the war. And then one day I remembered a beautiful day. We had organized and been working with him to get prosthetic limbs for him. And I'll never forget when we fitted these prosthetic limbs to him and we helped him to walk. My patient's name was Alfonso. Alfonso from Mozambique. And I remember getting him up and then putting my arm out to help him. And he turned his head from side to side. He said, no, I'll walk. And oh my God, he walks down the corridor with these two prosthetic limbs, like a soldier, like an athlete, like a prince. I was so proud. I was so amazed. And I was filled with such grace and gratefulness. I felt a sense of gratefulness to be alive. And as I felt that gratefulness inside of me to be alive, and the fact that my patient was alive as well, this grace came through me, this sense of peace and love. So that's what I wish for you. Wherever you are, if you're trying to find your spiritual practice, don't look for titillation. Look for service. How can you make yourself available in the world where you can help, where you can do something? If you feel, I want to share this practice with someone else, just to see what happens, you'll be amazed at how your spiritual practice starts to flower. As soon as you do something, just because you're enjoying it and you want to help, you want to be in service, the engine of grace and blessing opens and your life changes. I'll give an example in terms of Zen practice. My Zen teacher used to talk to us about enlightenment and how we needed to practice in such a way that we would find enlightenment. However, it's a double-edged sword because you practice hard to find enlightenment, but you can't expect it. Because as you expect something, you're inflaming the cult of the individual, which is I, my, me, which is what people talk about as the ego in the Western world. So I remembered once with my teacher, my Zen master, Subong, at the end of a retreat, he said, it was one evening, and he said, any kind of question's okay. You ask any kind of question. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll ask this question. I said, sir, why do you speak to us about enlightenment, but then we mustn't expect enlightenment? And he shouted at me. He said, so that you know when you've received something, that you have received something. So that you know that when you've had a spiritual experience, you can hold on to it because it's golden. Because you've been told the signs and the signposts along the road, you've been told what they are. So when you experience them, you can hold it because it's something very precious. But don't expect it. Your life is full of mystery. It's the same thing when people come on my retreats. and we work with plant medicine, we work with prayer, we work with dancing and shaking, with the focus of helping us to connect with our spirit and connect with our calling and connect with our ancestors. However, I always say to people, do this, but don't expect it to happen. Do this, don't expect that you're going to receive a dream. But just give yourself away. Give yourself away into the prayers. Give yourself away on your knees. Give yourself away in every way you can. Shaking, shaking, shaking. Working with the plants. Giving yourself away. And as you do that, maybe you'll get a dream. So when I receive a dream, I go, thank you, God. Because every time I go to sleep at night, I do some prayers, I do some meditation, but I don't expect that I'm going to receive a dream. So the spiritual practice is about doing, it's about listening, and it's about not expecting. So one of the pitfalls I've been talking about is the pitfall of arrogance, where you have some spiritual experience and you think you know something. That's when you're in danger. The eyes of a child, eyes of innocence, the eyes of a dove, the eyes of a small little bird in your garden, like a robin or a sparrow. These are the eyes of gentility. These are the eyes of innocence. These are the eyes of not knowing, but yet knowing. As you open yourself to innocence and you open yourself to the wind of gentility and the wind of grace, you will be filled with wisdom. And this is what spirituality is all about. So each of us is responsible for the human race. And how do we deal with that responsibility? Look inwards. Feel your own shadow. Feel your own grief and your own pain and deal with it. Do not project it onto the outside world and blame your wife, your lover, your friend, your spiritual teacher, your president. Feel your own pain and see what you can do. And then the answer in terms of action to change the world outside will become clearer. Ubuntu means humanity. We have another word for it. Umtu, Ngumtu, Ngabantu. A person becomes a person through other people. So the human race is made up with many individuals, and how we connect with our humanity is through connecting with our own humanity inside ourselves. So the first relationship we have is with our own spirit and making peace with our own spirit, looking at the bitterness, looking at the anger, looking at the sadness, making peace with that, and then making another step outside ourselves in terms of relating with the world, relating with, in Nelson Mandela's case, the jailer, the person who was locking his door every night. And he turned that person into one of his closest friends. Isn't that amazing? I think that story is incredible. And it's a true story. And if he can do that, why can't we do that as well? Thank you very much. So I know I've been talking a lot about obstacles to spiritual practice, and I'd like to just say that every challenge or every illness has its opposite, has its medicine. So the opposite to these obstacles, or the opposite to the cult of the individual, is grace. Opening ourselves up to grace. The opposite of arrogance is humility and grace. So what I'd like to do is do a meditation to facilitate the flowering of grace, the energy of grace for all of us. So I'd like to finish this section with opening us all up to the limitless potential of our humanity. And also I'd like to add in something. When you practice, because you are a child of the human race, you might feel lonely, you might feel isolated, but no matter where you are, when you're practicing on yourself and you're doing these simple exercises which we're about to do now, you're going to be helping everyone. Because we are all so intricately intertwined, no matter what color your skin is or what culture you're from, we are all so, so connected. I would like to teach this meditation on grace. And it's a very simple meditation. And the way I'd like to do it is do some bowing practice. Because that's what I found one of the most powerful practices for me. And you might say, what's a Sangoma doing with bowing practice? Well, this comes from our Buddhist background. And where the two meet in terms of the Sangoma and the Zen is on the ground. And there's nothing more beautiful and more humbling than being on the ground on your knees in front of a medicine elder or in front of the Zen master. So, this practice is a very good practice to deal with arrogance and to deal with this energy of titillation where you always want to feel excited. It's also a very good practice to open your heart. So when you're bowing, a suggestion is, don't just bow for yourself. Bow for the whole of humanity. Bow for the grace of being alive. Bow for your ancestors, for your family, for people who are sick. Just bow. Just offer your energy to Mother Earth as you're bowing. It's such a beautiful practice. And you can do as many bows as you like. Often I bow before I go to sleep at night, just to honor the dreams and honor this practice and honor this life. So let me show you how we're going to bow together. So you can stand up and you can just bring your hands together. So the palms of your hands are together, resting on your chest. So your hands together and then just touching your chest. And just collect your mind. Just be aware of what you're going to be doing, how you're going to bow, and your intention must be clear. So make an intention. Like right now, we're going to bow for Ubuntu. We're going to bow for humanity. Let's make that an intention so we can do this together. So you bring your hands together. And then you just bow from the waist, and then you come all the way down, and you bring your knees onto the ground, and bring your forehead onto the ground. And then you can bring your hands and just touch your forehead. I mean, just touch the top of your head. So your forehead's on the ground, you just touch your head gently with both hands, and as you're touching your head is just a sense of bringing your spirit into the earth and offering yourself to the Great Mother. So it's just a gentle action, touching your forehead to the ground and then touching your crown of your head. Bring your spirit into Mother Earth. And then slowly coming up, you can push both hands into the ground as you come up. Come up in a nice graceful way and then bring your both hands together again. And then again, you're coming down, bending from the waist. Put your left hand down just to stabilize yourself, and you come down, bring both knees onto the ground, bring your forehead onto the ground, bring both hands just touching the crown of your head, and then slowly pushing your left hand or both hands into the ground and then coming up into a standing posture. And then again, bending at the knees, coming down again, bringing your forehead onto the ground, bring your both hands just touching the crown of your head. And when you're down this time, I'm going to give you a little tip that one of the Zen monks taught me in South Korea. You can place your left foot over your right foot. And when I asked him why he was doing that, he just said, the left side of the body relates to nature. The right side relates to the way in the world. And he said, as you bring your left foot over the right, you are calling forth the spirit of nature, the spirit of, you could say, Pachamama, or the spirit we say of Kwantsen Borsal, which is the Kuan Yin, the Bodhisattva of compassion. You're calling forth that maternal, mothering, earthly medicine of nature to come into you. Okay, so I do that with my practice. We also say that the right hand or the right part of the body is dominant and it must be held in check by the feminine side, which is the left, which is nature. It's the passive, but not just passive, it's the listening, the world of listening, the world of nature. So I normally put my left foot over my right. So you can try that. Okay, now you can push your left hand or both hands into the ground and slowly come up into standing, both hands together. And now just a small bow from the waist. So those are just three bows. Now you can bow as much as you like. We have 108 bows in Buddhism, and sometimes when people are doing a special practice, they actually do what's called 300 bows. They have a whole basket of beads, and they go through a whole mala chain of bows. And people will bow for, yeah, they bow for their family, they bow for people who are sick. And it's an action of giving yourself away, of surrendering, and just offering yourself, offering your spirit to be in service to the world. And so this is what I'd like to encourage for all of us. How can we all be in service? So right here, I'm sitting here in Sounds True Studio to be in service, to share these teachings to you. And then we have the lovely Mitchell, the producer, and he's in service because he's helping me and we're having a wonderful time together. So we are creating these teachings of beauty. So wherever you are, be aware of your struggles and your pain, but don't let it identify who you are. Don't wallow in it. Just feel it. And then think, what can I do to be in service? What can I do to create some joy? So whatever you do to be in service, do that thing that you love. There's no point pushing yourself to be in service to do something when you're in pain. Help, share, do something where you are in service in a joyful way. Share something you love. Okay, so we're going to do a little heartbeat meditation. I like to finish with that, as you know by now. So we're just going to close our eyes and just bring your awareness inwards. Just bring your awareness inwards. Listening to your heartbeat. You can bring the tips of your fingers together, just the tips. Holding your hands. Feeling the pulse of your own heart. So you breathe into your heart, take a nice energizing breath of prana, of oxygen, of healing energy, just breathing it in. Breathing out. Take a few breaths like that. And then on your third breath, bringing the wind, your internal wind, bring it all the way down to below your belly button to your little dancer. Bring it all the way to feed the little dancer below the belly button. And then we'll do a few leopard. A leopard growls. Just to energize your center, to feel the little tingle of the little dancer, and then carry on with the breath. Observing your heartbeat. Surfing your heartbeat, enjoying your heartbeat. Feel the joy of being alive. Feel the limitless potential that you have as a human being. Because you are always growing. No matter how old you are always growing. Your spirit is always growing, just like a plant. As you listen and breathe into your heart, energize the little dancer. You are watering your own spirit. So just continue with the meditation. And I spoke a lot about issues and obstacles. Keep it very simple. Whatever your obstacles are and your emotional issues, just be aware of it. That's all you have to do. Feel it in your body. So right now, go for it. Just feel whatever your issue is. Is it jealousy? Is it anger? Whatever it is. Maybe there is nothing. Maybe in this moment you're feeling so relaxed. That's wonderful too. Just feel your body. That's all you have to do. Feeling and listening to your heart. And when you do it 100%, then the next step in your life becomes obvious. Don't hide from anything inside you. The land or landscape inside you is your wilderness. And your responsibility is to occupy the wilderness inside of you. But I'd like you to see that wilderness as a place of beauty, as well as a place of danger, because it's part of nature. The leopard is beautiful, but also dangerous. Why? Because the leopard is part of nature. And you are also part of nature. In the same way we have the thunder and lightning, we have the hurricanes and tornadoes, we have the lion and the leopard, we have the human being. And we are part of nature. So dive into your inner landscape. Feel the wilderness. Breathe into your heartbeats. Feel the strength and beauty of being alive.
Ay, si angola manyange. Si angola bazali pam. Masiambe. Masiambe. Nlovu. Iza apa nlovu. Ngonyama. Iza apa ngonyama. Ingwe. Masiambe ingwe. Ay. Dabiza. Dabiza bazali pam. Dabizi sinyanye zam. Masihambe, masifundisa bantu kupupa, uvuni lela manyange. Masihambe, masitandaza, masifundisa bantu kupupa. Gohama ngo, gohama pambile, Ai, sia bolela. Sia bolela manyange. Sia bolela isinyanya. Sia bolela tixo wam. Ai, sitxamagu. Masihambe. Ai, ingaba lam. Igama lam, John Keith Kelly Lockley. Ucingo lwendaba. Thombe mhlophe kwinkyamba. Hey, joke. Indlu yengwe. Gogo moya.
Hey, da bise tixo. So, my name is John Keith Kelly Lockley. Tringulundab. Tommy Slopakin Camp. He joke. Inu yangwe. Kokomoya. So, I'm just saying a prayer to the ancestors. I'm calling on the spirit of the lion, the spirit of the elephant, the spirit of the leopard. I'm calling on the spirit of Africa to help you connect with your dreams. One person connects with their dreams. It benefits mankind. As one person connects with the ancient world, with the dream time, it benefits, or they benefit, mankind. So, welcome. Wamkelekile. Ukupupa. Welcome to the place of dreams. Welcome to the dream time. So, in this session, I'm going to talk to you about dreams. I'm going to talk to you about nature. I'm going to talk to you about the wilderness inside yourself. For that wilderness comes from the dream time. And I'm going to show you how you can connect with that world. Are you ready? Are you ready? Masihambe. Masithandaz. Masipupa kunye. Let us go. Let us dream. Let us do this together. So, you sit up straight. Feel your breath. Closing your eyes. Connecting with your lightning rod. What is your lightning rod? It's your spine. So, as a Sangoma, I'm a rainmaker. Because I'm a medicine man from Africa. And when we sing and dance, we call the rain. Because we ignite our spines with energy. And that's how we call on the rain. That's how we call on the thunder. And that is how we call on the dreams. So how can you connect and ignite your own lightning rod? Sit up straight. Breathe. Let's go. You need to make a decision. Do you want to ignite the lightning rod of your spine, of your spirit? Do you want to connect with the possibility of also becoming a rainmaker? You're not sure? You must decide. Do you want to ignite your spine and allow the energy of the human race to move through your spine? Allow the possibility of you becoming something incredible, of you becoming who you are, but in a dynamic, powerful and beautiful way. For you have limitless potential. All you have to do is open up to it and light the flame of your spirit through connecting with your little dancer. Are you ready? Let's go for it. Breathe in, open your spine from the crown of your head. Take the breath of life, the wind. Welcome in the wind from the crown of your head. Into your body, all the way down to your belly button. Down through your feet. You can bring the tips of your fingers together, making a round circle with your hands. Or you can just rest your hands on your lap or on the side of your chair. Feeling your heartbeat, connecting with the wilderness inside yourself. Feel the pounding, pulsing nature of your heart. As the wind and the rain and the thunder and the lightning move outside, so your own heart beats to the same drum rhythm inside your chest. What is the rhythm? What is the tune? Find it. Feel it. Become one with your own heartbeat. Bring the rhythm and the wind of life inside of you. Bring it all the way down to your belly button. Feel the extension of your belly button outwards. Feel your belly button going inwards. And feel the little dancer beneath your belly button. You want to connect with it immediately? Bring in the leopard growl, or the leopard cough. Feel their energy sparking, igniting inside the little dancer beneath your belly button. Feel the breath. Feel the growth of the little dancer. Breathing into your heart. What is your wilderness looking like? Can you see any animals? Can you see any plants? Inhabit. Occupy the wilderness inside you completely. So calling on your own spirit, saying your name, and asking yourself, how are you? And then wait for the answer. And be a warrior. Don't be afraid to look into the eyes of your own soul. Many people have done it before you, and many people are going to do it after you. And know this, that your life is going to be much richer when you face your own spirit. When you face your demons, they become your friends. Just offer them a cup of tea. So facing yourself, asking yourself how you are, and then listening to the wind inside yourself. Why do you eat every day? What was your face before you were born? And what is your face going to be when you die? You don't know? Neither do I. But we must look into that. As we look into it, we look into the depth of the dream time. That just keeping one eye open into that space, keeping it alive, keeping it growing. Like a cat watching a mouse hole being ready to pounce. Be vigilant. Feel the electricity of your spine. Feel the movement of the electricity through your body. And know that you can always connect with that electricity, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, anytime, any place. As you become familiar with that inner wilderness, your dream world will open and flower. And you will start to see things and become who you are meant to become. As you do this, you will activate the seventh center. You will activate your dreaming and your fullest potential. Breathing in, welcome in the wind into the crown of your head. Let it energize your heart. Let it energize your spine. Bring it all the way down to the little dancer. Let it energize the dynamo inside of you that turns the engine of your life. And then releasing it through your feet on a lovely, strong exhalation. Breathing in a few times. Now you can stand up, have a little stretch, a little scratch. If you've got a friend next to you, scratch them too. It's time to wake up. Now I'm going to talk to you about dreaming and the mysteries of the seventh sense of man, our capacity to dream and to enter the timeless space of our human birth. So, according to the Khoisan people of the Kalahari, the Bushman people of southern Africa, they say that this world is a dream being dreamt by the great dreamer. And in Zen Buddhism, we say everything is a dream and you need to wake up from the dream. So all of life is said to come from a moment of universal expansion. According to Hinduism, according to Buddhism, and according to the Sangoma or indigenous traditions, we are all seen to come from that explosion of time and space. We are all seen to come from this space of nothingness. And when we die, we go back to that space. I like to call that space the dream time. Every night you die, and part of you enters that space again. And in that space, you are given your instructions in how to live your life in the most effective way for you and everyone around you. How do I know this? Because I've experienced it. I haven't read a book about it. I've experienced it. And my job right now is to teach you how you can activate your own dreaming so that you are not afraid of death, so that you can connect with your own immortality, because that's what it is. Everyone that is alive is connected to the dream time. Every indigenous culture in the world, going back thousands of years, speaks about the same thing. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter your culture or creed. You are a dreamer because you are a human being. So how can you activate the space? let's talk a little bit more about it. So, I like to see things in a simple way, because life is simple and we tend to complicate things a lot. So the way I see it from my tradition, or the tradition of my training, the tradition of my Sangoma family, is that we all enter this world from this nothingness or this dream time. And we come from this collective consciousness. Let's call it the Great Spirit or God. And we drop into this earth plane. So I see it like a triangle. The top is the Great Spirit or the Great Dreamer. And our consciousness is dropped into this earth plane through the doorway of earthly vessels called Mom and Dad. And we come out. And for the rest of our lives, part of us is walking the earth plane and another part of us is walking that thread of consciousness from where we came from the dream time. So most spiritual people and psychic people and dreamers and mystics and Zen masters and Sangomas and shamans and so on and so on are connected to that thread of dreaming. Like I say, what was your face before you're born? What is your face going to be after you die? When you connect to that space, then you become who you're meant to become and more. So, when I'm working with students, I always say a prayer, and I'll say in this world and the next. We honor the Great Spirit, we honor our ancestors, we honor the great ones in this world and the next. The next world is the dreaming, and not just this dreaming, but also when you leave this world. So, what does this all mean for you? It means that when you can wake up in your dreams and you can connect more with your dreams, the ones you have at night, when you can connect to that world and you can write your dreams down, then you can bring a little bit more mindfulness into that space. And as you bring a bit more mindfulness into that space of your dreaming, so you bring a bit more mindfulness into your daily life, your waking life, so things become clearer, richer, and more meaningful for you. And what starts to happen there is that you automatically start to move like the salmon from the sea upstream to spawning at the top of the river. You automatically follow the stream of your life, even though it's difficult and it feels like it's upstream. You automatically do that because you connect with your own instinct, your own connection to nature. So, we all have responsibility to do that, to wake up in our dreams. But whether we take that responsibility or not is up to us. So, as we said in the last session, it's vital that every person makes a decision for themselves to wake up. And to do that means consciously make the decision to remember your dreams and to work with your dreams. Because when you start to do that, you start activating your own instinct. And even though you have challenges in life, like the salmon swimming upstream, those challenges will be energy. They will energize you and they'll energize the natural world around you. So, what is your dream? What does it look like? What does it feel like?
Yes, flama que se eleva, yes, un pájaro a volar en la noche que se encendió, estrella de oscuridad que busca entre la tiniebla la dulce hoguera.
Yeah. Father's house. Burn it blue. Heart running on empty. So lost without you. But the night sky blooms with fire, and the burning bed floats higher. And she's free to fly. Woman so weary, spread your unbroken wings. Fly free as the swallow sings. Come to the fireworks, see the dark lady smile. She burns. And the night sky blooms with fire, and the burning bed floats higher, and she's free to fly. Burn this night black and blue, so cold in the morning. So cold without you. And the night sky blooms with fire, and the burning bed floats higher, and she's free to fly. And of the dark days painted in dark gray hues, they fade with the dream of you, wrapped in red velvet, dancing the night away. I burn midnight blue. Spread those wings, fly free with the swallows, fly one with the wind. Without
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with fallen woman, stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.